Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today, this 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the readings are fantastic, as always, right? The Word of God is always fantastic to hear the Word of God. But I also want to remind you, my brothers and sisters, you know, whether you're Catholic or not, whether you're in a state of sin or whether you're in a state of grace, you're always welcome to the Catholic Church. You know, the only thing is that if you are not Catholic, you should not receive Holy Communion. Receiving Holy Communion is a very intimate thing. You know, to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and Holy Communion is very different from any other church you'd ever think of. And how we look at this, and it's important that we are in communion. We believe as one we say amen, all of the things that the church teaches us, that we try to follow these things. That's the other thing. We try to follow these things, but you know, we are truly are all a work in progress. You know, you look at some of the statistics on the number of people who go to church or don't go to church. And then, of course, we see, you know, after, you know, all of this stuff is resurrected from the past of abuses that have happened in the church. And even abuse that's happened by people who have worked for the church. And, you know, this type of abuse, sexual abuse, all of this abuse happens in all different organizations. Unfortunately, happens in even families, family members perpetrating abuse upon another family member. And so there is, there's a lot of sin in the world. There's a lot of sickness. And we have to pray about it. We should not run away from it. And, you know, I would suggest that to you, my brothers and sisters, is don't pick this as another opportunity to run away from the church. To not, you know, if you don't want to give any money, don't give any money. Okay, but don't stop going to church. Don't stop praying. Don't stop receiving the sacraments, receiving Holy Communion, getting your children baptized, getting them catechized. You know, I know the everyone in every Catholic, you know, people are screened very closely. People are put through training very closely. It is a very... The regulations are put in place and are very good, and everyone's watching out and trying to be as careful as possible. So my brothers and sisters, I want to give you some hope. Okay, I don't want us to get stuck into this thing to where, you know, once things are perfect, I know things are perfect, then I can go back to church, because things are not going to be perfect, my brothers and sisters. They're just not. The world is broken. We have to keep a close eye on our families. You know, I said this last week, you know, we need to talk to our children that we send off to college. Talk to them every week. You know, how are you doing? How's it going? How are your professors? How are the people you're working with? You know, how does the police department at the university handle problems and issues? And teach them, well, of course, go to Mass, you know, when you get to the university. Hang around the right people. Try to hang around the right people. Don't try to fit in, okay? Don't try to fit in or be with the cool kids to the point to where you end up drinking too much at a party and you get assaulted. You know, heaven forbid, you get assaulted and a horrible thing like that happen. Or be involved in a horrible thing. You perpetrate a crime. Because you're under the influences of drugs and alcohol and other people and fraternities and things like that. We all have to be careful. We have to stay in constant communication with our children, with our families, to try to protect them. That's what we have to do. And we have to pray. And we have to know that the devil is prowling the earth, seeking the ruin of souls, seeking to destroy families, seeking to try to destroy the church. But I don't want us to get stuck into this thing to where, you know, and I know there's certain people who don't like Pope Francis. You know, there's certain things that I don't like that he does. There's certain ideas that I don't agree with him on. But he is the Pope. He is the Vicar of Christ. He does sit in the chair of Peter. And, you know, you know, similar to Washington, you know, the president that we have and the president of the United States right now might not be the person that you like, you know, or you may not have voted for him, but he's still our president. See, so there is a certain amount of respect that has to be given. And Christ asks us that. Jesus Christ asks us that. And that's who we follow. We don't follow the Pope or the Bishop or this saint or that saint or the Blessed Mother Mary. We follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That's who we follow. Now, quite frankly, for me, the Blessed Virgin Mary is the most perfect apostle in a certain way. Right? The most perfect. Knows Jesus so well. But my brothers and sisters, we'll go into this a little bit later too, but I just wanted to start out our conversation as that, you know, is let's not get stuck. Let's not get stuck in the church politics either, but let's also push for more laity involvement. And there will be. The bishop put out a beautiful letter saying that, you know, the laity is going to be more involved. We're going to be more involved. So now the next question is, are you going to be there when they ask for help, when they ask you to be on this committee or that committee, right? Or this council or a church council or some organizational group within the church, within the diocese, within a multitude of churches. Are you going to say yes? See? And we've had a problem with that too. People saying yes. People saying, you know, I will help. I will be a CCD teacher, right? Even though I don't know my faith that well, I will help. See? So we can't just stick in our heads in the sand and think it's all going to get better without us helping. No, we need to help. And quite frankly, you know, you can't just have all the people who really, really, really aren't capable saying yes. Then you have just chaos and they're lost. So I tell you, my brothers and sisters, get involved and do not walk away from Holy Mother Church. She needs you. We need her. We need Jesus Christ more now than ever. And that's the truth. And we always will. And our brothers and sisters before us had trials and tribulations as well. They had their battles with the devil. They had their battles with human beings. They had their battles with the politics within the church. And, you know, I pray for Pope Francis, you know, that the people surrounding him are honest and truthful and righteous men and women. I hope and pray to God that that's the case. But God will take care of things, my brothers and sisters. God will. God will take care of things. So do not despair. So let us go right into the readings. In case you're just joining us, my name is Deacon Louis Zimlick, and this is a outreach of the Catholic Church radio program in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, serving all of southwestern Michigan. Our bishop, our wonderful bishop, Paul J. Bradley in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, should be on with us here in a couple of weeks, and enjoy doing that once a month, meeting with him and listening to his outlook on the scriptures and outlook on the diocese. So I hope you're to join us here in the next couple of weeks. And if you're not able to, you can go to holyfamilyradio.net. They archive all the Epiphany Radio program shows on there. And if you've missed a show, you can always go on there. And they also have contact information on there too to reach me. So we're going to go right into the readings today, which are for the September 23rd, 2018, 25th Sunday and Ordinary Time. And our first reading is from the Book of Wisdom, Wisdom 2, 12, and then 17 through 20. The wicked say, "Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training. Let us see whether his words are true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, God will defend him and deliver him from the hands of his foes. With revilement and torture, let us put the just one to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, and according to his own words, God will take care of him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Wow, powerful reading, especially for today, right? Awesome. So our psalm reading, we usually don't do the psalm, but we've got time to do the psalm. So the psalm reading is Psalm 54. The Lord upholds my life. O God, by your name save me, and by your might defend my cause. O God, hear my prayer. Hearken to the words of my mouth. For the haughty of men have risen up against me. The ruthless seek my life. They set not God before their eyes. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord sustains my life. Freely will I offer you sacrifice. I will praise your name, O Lord, for its goodness. The Lord upholds my life. Our next reading is from the book of James, James 3, 16 through 4 and 3. Beloved, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconsistency or insincerity. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. Where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? Is it not from your passions that you make war within your members? You covet, but you do not possess. You kill and envy, but you cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not possess because you do not ask. You ask, but you do not receive. Because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beautiful reading. And finally, our gospel reading is from the Gospel of Mark. Mark 9, chapter 9, 30 through 37. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee. But he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing amongst themselves on the way, who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be last, and he shall be the last of all, and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arm around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful, powerful readings. In case you're just joining us, my name is Deacon Louis Zemlich, and this is a outreach of the Catholic Church here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today. And some powerful readings. And you can just see from this, from the Book of Wisdom in this first thing, and the Church doesn't have an exact teaching on this in the Catechism, on this singular piece of Scripture. But you can see here that the the scribes and the Pharisees they want to kill Jesus, see, and they want to kill him because he is obnoxious to them, right? He reminds them, and you know there are people within the church, you know, bishops, priests, deacons, men and women, religious, nuns, people who have really bought into the political power of the world, right? That we need to change everything. The church needs to change everything. We need to change everything about marriage. We need to change everything about the priesthood. We need to change everything about how we look at men and women. We need to, instead of saying the word him at Mass in our prayers, to just say the word God. See? To desexualizing all of it. And it's not about sex. It's about the incarnation. That God became man. God is not a man or a woman. See? But Jesus is a man. Jesus Christ is a man. And in a certain way, when we refuse to say Jesus Christ is a man, is him, it is him, we refuse our own salvation. The church has taught this for almost 2,000 years. It is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Christ saves us. Jesus Christ saves us. And in a very powerful way on the cross. But you see here, still happening today, people are still wanting to kill Jesus. And this Book of Wisdom, I invite you to read it. It's very powerful. And I don't believe that this Book of Wisdom is in it's an apocryphal book, so it's not one of the that's in the Protestant canon. You know, they took it out. Martin Luther took it out. He didn't want it in there, so it's out. But you can read the Book of Wisdom. Get yourself a good Catholic Bible, and you got several other books, wisdom books that are in the Catholic Bible that are not in the King James Version, including 1st and 2nd Maccabees, Sirach, Wisdom, Tobit, Judith, Esther, parts of Esther, and parts of Baruch too. So those are very good, beautiful scriptures. You know, so to know that, you know, Jesus had these problems too, right? These problems have existed forever. And of course, this Book of Wisdom is a kind of this foreshadowing of our gospel reading, which is, you know, Jesus explaining to his apostles, you know, he's going to die, you know. And of course, last week, you know, Peter getting rebuked, you know, and we see these things today too. So our second reading from the James is quite powerful about praying, that we pray for our passions, right? Isn't that what we do? We pray for our passions. If we ask with divided hearts, if we ask in our prayers with divided hearts, we are adulterers. Wow. Isn't that hard to hear, right? If we ask with divided hearts, see, we've divided our heart. See? And we see this quite often. We see it even today. You know, we set our focus on the world or part of the world so that we can deny God. We're very sneaky. We're very crafty. We think, oh,
there's this trouble that's going on in the church, and, you know, trouble that's going on over there, or over here. Or we even say, you know, well, the politics in the United States is not going on. I'm not going to vote for president. I'm not going to vote at all. I quit voting. It's like, why? Why? You quit voting? You know, it's almost like, you know, there's a contaminated load of lettuce, right? Contaminated load of lettuce, which they've isolated, they found, they'll take it to the garbage dump, right? Contaminated load of lettuce. That doesn't mean you never eat lettuce again. See? Maybe you're a little careful for a few weeks. You know, make sure you, do I really want lettuce or not? Right? So we have to think about these things, my brothers and sisters, because deep down in our hearts, you know, we are crafty. We are, I'm going to say it again, we are liars. We lie to ourselves. Sometimes I think we find that we have more in common with Satan than we have with God. It's sad. I can do it. I can be negative. I can be very negative. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. I can be very negative. I can be very ruthless. I think it should be done this way. God says, no, Louis. Especially when he says, no, Deacon Louis. You should be kind, and you should be merciful, and you should be patient. And just like those words of Ronald Reagan, you know, trust but verify. And that's what we need to do, especially in the church today. We need to trust, but we need to verify, and we need to be involved. And we need to stop sitting on our couches and watching football games and get involved in the church. And we need to pray every single day. And we need to support our good priests and our good bishops and those who are having troubles and those who are unable to fulfill their ministries. We need to pray for them, and we need to find them other jobs to do, right? You can't be a priest for Jesus Christ, just like I can't be a deacon for Jesus Christ if I'm in a state of mortal sin and I don't think mortal sin's real. And I don't think sin's real. And I discount the beliefs of the church. See? And I don't believe in the incarnation. You know? And I believe more in politics than I do in Jesus Christ. See? And that can happen to all of us. That's available to all of us. And then finally, our gospel reading from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus telling them, and just here it is again, right? Just like we're talking about, our ego and our pride. Who's the best? Who's the greatest amongst all of us? So Jesus is setting his face for Jerusalem, and it is there that he will die. By its union to the divine wisdom, in the person of the Word incarnate, Christ enjoyed in his human knowledge the fullness of understanding of the eternal plans he had to come to reveal. Beautiful. That's from the Catechism, number 474. Very powerful. Very beautiful. Christ calls us to love everyone, especially those who are the farthest from us. How about that? Especially those who are the farthest from us. I think about our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, Christians, Muslims, Hindus, anyone out there. How much they need our prayers, how much we need to pray for them. Pray for their conversions. Pray that they understand the truth. But also, my brothers and sisters, to pray for us within the church. Because we see here Jesus is even calling out his apostles, you know, sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone wishes to be first, he will be last and servant of all. So all of those of you who have great expectations in the church, you know, you're going to be this, I'm going to be a big shot, I'm going to be... No, you're not. You might be a big shot today, but you'll be a little shot for eternity. See? But it is so amazing. It is so amazing that he asks him, you know, who? But then he says to him, he says, you know,
he says to them in a very strong way, he says, what have you been discussing about yourselves on the way? But they remained silent. They wouldn't say anything. See? That's like sitting on the couch watching the football game and not going to church. Right? You want to be the greatest. You want to be, you know, when times are good, you know. Oh, yes, I'm a Catholic. Yes. Christmas, Easter, I'm a Catholic. Really? Seriously? Come on. Give me a break. Do you feel the nails in your hands? Because that's what we're going through right now. I think we need to. I think we need to go through this. I think it's necessary. I think the Blessed Mother, you know, this all started right before her Assumption last month, that the curtain has been pulled back, and now we see that we have not taken care of things the way we should take care of things. But we will. But we will. I want to read from Humanae Vitae, the encyclical letter of His Holiness Pope Paul VI. It's very good. It's about the human body, and it's about marriage. And this is the stuff the church teaches. It's very powerful, but very good. And then we'll have a reading from St. Pope John Paul's as well. Okay, so respect for the nature and the finality of the marriage act. This is from page 14, paragraph 11. These acts by which the husband and wife are united in chaste intimacy and by means of which human life is transmitted are, as the council recalled, good and honorable. And they do not cease to be legitimate if, for causes independent of the will of the husband and the wife, they are foreseen to be infertile. Because they remained ordained to expressed and strengthening their union. Indeed, as experience bears witness, not every act of marital intercourse is followed by a new life. God has wisely arranged natural laws and rhythm of fertility, which already of themselves bring about the separation and the succession of births. But the Church, calling men back to the observance of the norms of the natural law, interpreted by her constant teaching, teaches that each and every marriage act must remain open to the transmission of life. So beautiful. Okay, and if you're looking for other information about the Church, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo, diokzoo.org. Lots of good information on there, as well as the bishop has several letters on there of things that are going on in the media and things like that that he is addressing on a constant basis. So always go there and get your news at EWTN.com. Okay, don't listen to CNN or Fox News. You can listen to them, it's fine. But get the other story, the Catholic story, at EWTN.com. Okay. Finally, this, St. Pope John Paul's Theology of the Body. Very, very beautiful and very relevant to today. Man becomes the image of God by communion of persons. In his audience of the 14th of November 1979, the Holy Father located the image of God in which man was created, not only in the solitude of his humanity, but also in the communion of persons. In the creation of the first man and woman in relation to each other. And so I invite you to go to EWTN.com and type in Theology of the Body, St. Pope John Paul's readings on that, of which there's quite a few of them. But I ask you, my brothers and sisters, to be in prayer. Do not run away from the Church. Do not run away from God. We need you. We need your help. We need your love. We need your prayers. If you don't want to give money, don't give money. But please continue to pray. Continue to come to Mass. Continue to love your brothers and sisters and to love your families and always stay in touch with them. And may Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.